Well, Daniel in the Lion's Den was my favourite childhood story. Just loved this story. And I had, anybody else? One of your favourites? It's an amazing story, isn't it, really? I guess when I think about it, and there might have been a picture somewhere on our wall, perhaps, that, you may have this vision in your mind of a ruddy-faced young man standing in a glorious robe, standing very peacefully with these calm lions around him and rays of light. Well, probably an element in that is a little incorrect, because the reality is that at this point Daniel is no longer the young man that we have read of in the earlier chapter. Daniel is probably some 90 years of old now. He's an old man. He has lived long and well in Babylon. And so when we think about Daniel, by the time we get to chapter 6, we don't know the whole of those 90 years. We just know these particular events that have been recorded for us, the interpretation of the dreams. And one day I may have the courage to preach on the rest of the book of Daniel and all those great visions. He had these visions and dreams earlier, and they're all visions about the kingdom of God. But the reality is, Daniel lived a long and faithful life, but he didn't really, in his time frame, see any particular fruit for his faithfulness. The message, if you look at the whole book of Daniel, the key message of the whole book of Daniel is this: the Lord is King. Therefore, remain faithful. Whatever situation you're in, whatever circumstances you face, whatever you see and experience, the Word of God tells us, as it comes through Daniel, that the Lord is King, the Lord reigns, the Lord is working His purposes out, and whether you see that now or not, you know it by faith, and therefore you can remain faithful in your situation and in your circumstances. But right now, I think, when Daniel has this challenge about not praying to his God, and really just for 30 days, backing off that simple act of devotion, I wonder if he was tempted. I wonder if you and I would be tempted. Think, oh man, it's just 30 days. You know, I can pray in my heart. You know, I can pray under my pillow. Why face these lions? And for Daniel, you know, there could have been a question behind all of that. Why should I stay faithful when it costs so much? Why should I stay faithful when I'm going to be torn to pieces by lions? But even more than that, Daniel could have been asking not only why stay faithful when it costs everything, but when it seems to change nothing, when it makes no difference. See, Daniel saw in his time frame, he didn't see any great changes in Babylon. He saw Nebuchadnezzar make a great confession, but he didn't see this make any difference in Babylon. Babylon as a nation didn't suddenly become believers in the God of Israel. Even more significant than that, he and his people were in exile out of their homeland, and there's no sense that he saw any spiritual revival or awakening in his own people. It looked like nothing was happening. And so he could say, well, really, what's the point? He was an old man. He only had to back off for a month, then he could just live out his days and avoid being torn to pieces by lions. That's a question, I think, that faces us so much. Why stay faithful when it costs everything and seems to change nothing? We could feel that in our society, couldn't we? We could feel that in our culture. So much around us now in our culture, which is a post-Christian culture, is constantly saying, not in these literal words, but if we stop and think about what's being said to us, we're hearing this: don't be silly. When it comes to integrity and your morality, either privately or in public, everything is saying, why bother? You're out of date and it won't make any difference. Times have changed now. It's not going to be any difference. Do you hear that temptation? Do you feel that temptation? Well, I do, and I think that's what Daniel must have felt. We live in a culture that no longer upholds the things we want to uphold, and our lives don't always seem to make a great difference. We could ask that question about a church plant like this. We're a small church plant. Why forge on in faithfulness? Why work at what we're trying to do? Why try to establish a church? Why try to make relationships and seek people for Christ? There's a lot of cost, and sometimes we don't see change very quickly. The world would see a church plant like this in a little corner as kind of pointless, and our culture just goes on. So for Daniel, why remain faithful when it costs so much and it doesn't seem to change anything, and why for you and I? Well, the reasons, I think, there are some reasons given in this very chapter. The reason why we can remain faithful, why we ought to remain faithful, is ultimately because God Himself can be trusted. God Himself will not fail. There are three ways in this passage that God shows that He's the God who can be trusted, and it's my delight to come up with three P words. See, people who've long put up with my preaching know I like to do this, but tonight I've done it. Three P words: presence, promises, and power. These are the three things that show us that God can be trusted, and therefore we must go on in faithfulness. No matter what the message of the world is, the message of God is, you can trust me in whatever situation or circumstance it is, and you can and must remain faithful. So the first P is presence, the very presence of God in our trials. He is the true and living God. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and He lives, and He promises to be with His people. That's one of the central promises of the Christian faith, the reality of the presence of the living God. And there's such a beautiful picture in this chapter, isn't there, of the presence of God. In verse 22, when Daniel comes out of the lion's den, he says this: my God sent His angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me. Have you heard about that angel before in the book of Daniel? Sorry? In the furnace. If you go back to chapter 3 and verse 25, Daniel chapter 3, verse 25 and 28. So those three men faced with a similar temptation, not to bow before the idol Nebuchadnezzar had made, and they weren't going to be thrown into a den of lions, they were going to be thrown into a huge furnace. And God rescued them in the furnace. But one of the glorious aspects of that rescue is the very presence of God with them. In verse 25, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, but I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. And in verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar identifies that fourth person. He says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants. It's an angel. The Old Testament gives us a character called the angel of the Lord, who appears at certain times. And my view is, and along with others, that the angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God, come to be with His people, particularly in their hour of need. So there He is. An angel of the Lord, at the very least, if not the very presence of the Lord Himself. Either way, it represents the presence of the Lord with His people. And what they were saying, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, and what Daniel said was this: either way, Either way, when we're under this pressure, whether we live or die, we trust God to be with us. And he is. This is the encouragement for us, you see, in our lives, when we are called to faithfulness in our private lives, or faithfulness in our public lives, or faithfulness in the daily grind and the monotony of our particular work, or whatever we do at home. There are times when life is just very mundane and monotonous, and even then, you see, our faithfulness is challenged. In the classroom, in the kitchen, in our jobs, or with a public challenge to our faith, in all of those situations, when we're under pressure to just say, I back away. I don't want to publicly own the Lord. God is saying, I will be with you. As you go into that challenge, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, in the wonderful words of Psalm 23 tonight, we read that very reality. Every word of Psalm 23 is so precious. There's a picture in Psalm 23 of the presence of the Lord leading us through every part of life, from beginning to end, all the way to that final day when we dwell in the house of the Lord forever, even leading us, as verse 4 says, through the valley of the shadow of death, through death itself, and all the dark moments of life that come to us because there is death in the world, because there is sin. Through every dark valley, the psalmist says, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. It's Emmanuel, God with us. That's the first reason for faithfulness. We're not alone. We are not alone. The second is the promises of God. There's tremendous reminder in this chapter, and Daniel seems to know this, the reminder that God will fulfill his promises. No matter what is happening now, no matter how it looks like things are totally against the cause of Christ, God has promised that he will fulfill his promises. You know, this comes out wonderfully in Daniel's prayer. In verse 10, we're told about Daniel's prayer. Just have a look at that. Daniel 10, it says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks for his before his God as he had done previously. Well, that's a rich verse. As soon as he heard the document was signed, he went to pray. He went and he prayed where his windows were open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees and prayed as he had done three times a day, and he gave thanks, and we're reminded that this is just what he always did. See, it was the pattern of his life. But the thing I wanted to pick up on here is a reminder that he fulfills his promises, is that Daniel prayed with an open window towards Jerusalem. Because Daniel understood the promises of God. Jerusalem was a mess. Babylon had destroyed it, taken people away. It could have all been over, you know, the promises and purposes of God in the world, but Daniel prayed toward Jerusalem. He knew that God was not finished. He knew that God would fulfill his promises for the whole world. Daniel knew that the future lay not in this mighty city in which he now lived. Remember, I've told you how amazing Babylon was? The greatest city of the day. A mighty, mighty, wealthy, ruling city. And Daniel put no hope in Babylon. His hope was in that pile of rocks because he knew that God had not finished. At the end of chapter 6, we read these simple little words that are really quite striking. It says, so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You may not get why that's so striking, but you remember Nebuchadnezzar had brought the people of Israel to Babylon, and they were there for decades. God had said that eventually they would go back, that he would restore Jerusalem, that he would restore the people. And he did it through this man, Cyrus the Persian. God used him to say, okay, you can go back. And they went back and they began to rebuild the city. God is faithful to his promises. He promised right in the beginning of the scriptures in Genesis 3:15 that he would crush the head of the serpent who had brought sin and destruction into the world, a signal that through one person, one descendant of Eve, he would restore the whole creation. And that's why there's a focus on Jerusalem. Because out of Jerusalem that salvation would come, that reigning king called Jesus would come. He would crush the serpent, he would silence the devil. Through his chosen race, he would bring redemption to all the nations. Daniel understood all of that. No matter where he was now, no matter what he was facing, no matter what it meant for him, he knew that God would not fail to fulfill his promises, and we can stand in the same belief. Christ will come. Christ will establish his reign throughout the universe. Christ will create a new heavens and a new earth. He will gather people from every tribe and tongue and nation. He has promised, and he will fulfill it. In fact, Paul said, all the promises of God are yes and amen in our Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel knew, no matter what happened to him, it was worth staying faithful because God would fulfill his promise. That's when we're called, you see, to walk by faith and not by sight. Not what we see and experience in the here and now, but what God reveals to us and we receive in faith that he will fulfill all his promises. The third great encouragement to trust in God is the power of God. God has the power to rescue and redeem. We see that illustrated, don't we, so beautifully in those lions. I don't think any of us take delight in reading what happened in verse 24 to those who tried to get Daniel when they were thrown into the lion's den. But so it says they were overpowered before they even reached the bottom of the den, which proves that the lions were hungry and they were ferocious. But Daniel stood unscathed in their midst, not because Daniel had any power, but because of the power of God. There's a greater power than the power of the lions. There's a greater power than the power of the fiery furnace. It is a supernatural power over the natural. It is the power that comes from God, the God who made the lions. The God who promises that in the end, those lions will eat straw like the ox when he fulfills all his promises. That's the same power of God to protect us if he chooses, to rescue us if he chooses. It's the same power that is available to enable us to be faithful to the end. It is the power in which we can and must rest. The presence of God, the promises of God, the power of God, they're all evidence there for us to say we can trust God, and even when it costs so much and doesn't seem to change anything, God will not fail, and we can obey him. Let me just write home in this passage how the presence, the promises, and the power of God are actually guaranteed to us in Christ. We are, in a sense, more blessed than Daniel because we live after the coming of Christ. It is in Jesus that the presence of God, the promises of God, and the power of God are given to us as a rock-solid guarantee. There's a sense in which Daniel here points to Christ, indeed pictures him for us. See, we admire Daniel. But at the end of the day, this passage isn't saying, just be like Daniel. just, you know, work up this obedience and faithfulness in yourself. In the end, Daniel is pointing towards the one in whom we trust, the one in whom we find our hope and strength. You know, have you ever